risen.
Of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your
by the mercy of God, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, and in him we are forgiven.
like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation.
If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good,
O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name.
Make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him, sing praises to him.
Tell of all his wondrous works.
Glory in his holy name.
Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Seek the Lord and his strength.
Seek his presence continually.
Remember the wondrous works that he has done.
His miracles and the judgments he uttered.
He remembers his covenant forever.
The word that he commanded for a thousand generations.
Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
First reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts, the fifth chapter. Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above heaven and earth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you pilots of heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created.
And he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth.
Young men and maidens together, old men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven.
He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. Praise the Lord.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, For his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. The second reading is from the first letter of St. Peter, the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand. Place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Jesus is my confidence. Grace, mercy, and peace from the one who offers up his scars. The text today is the Gospel reading, the 20th chapter of John, beginning at the 19th verse, especially, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side." This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Second Sunday of Easter, the Sunday after the big hurrah. What a reset. And why don't we get 12 days of Easter? Aside from the fact that our pastors need a rest. It seems unfair. I want 12 days of Easter. What else seemed unfair was that Christ, their friend, the disciples' friend, their teacher, and their Messiah, had left them alone, huddled up in fear in that room, locked, double bolted, in a quiet room when he promised them so much. But you don't need to wait. We know how it ends. But so did the disciples too, at least for a while. But fear and death can make us forget a lot of things. And so it was. For the 10 disciples, 10 because Judas killed himself, and Thomas was out somewhere on a coffee run, and Jesus came in through a locked door and breathed out the eternal Comforter, who spake by the prophets from of old, the Holy Spirit, was breathed out of the very living mouth of the risen Savior. Risen just like he said he would. Bones, skin, and all. And Thomas came back with their mocha lattes and their caramel macchiatos and saw nothing. He was late for one meeting and destined for 2,000 years and counting to be labeled with that horrible nickname, Doubting Thomas. That doesn't seem fair. But he could have had Zacchaeus' nickname as well. Wee little man. And it doesn't say doubting in this text, but it does say unbelieving. So maybe doubting is an upgrade. He's the father of "I'll see it when I believe it." That doesn't seem fair. And he's probably thinking, Thomas is thinking to John, "Come on, John, why did you put that in your gospel? Why did you put in that part where I said, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the marks of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." His "unless" that came out of his mouth should have been, "even if." Even if all seems lost in the dark, in death and doubt, and all is impossible, Christ should have been. But John says right after this, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Thomas's refusal to have faith in the absence of physical proof, it was written for us, that we may believe. And it's because the Holy Spirit knows us. He knows that we are the people of the unless. Unless what? Unless anything in our lives. Unless the bank account is balanced at the end of the month, I won't really have faith that God knows better than me. Unless he helped me find the root of my anger that's destroying my marriage. Unless I see a change in the diagnosis. Unless you constantly remind me. Unless I stop continually falling into that one sin that seems to define me, I will never really believe. In Christ, all things are possible. Unless is what we say. Unless I have the evidence. Unless I can touch it. Unless I can handle it. Unless I can control it. Then I won't believe it fully. Unless I shove my fingers into the holes that the nails went through that held him up on the cross for me, would that be enough? We said
that it would be in our confessions, we say. But John writes this because our God is a God of tangible mercies. He's the one who mercifully gives us that thing that we need to grab onto, to hold onto. And he's been doing it throughout the scriptures. It's nothing new. He gave Noah that visual aid to grab onto, the fractal light in a gray cloud sky. He had Moses pull out his hand withered. He gave the whiny Israelites real food in the wilderness, treating their spiritual amnesia with real physically full stomachs. Gideon got a wool fleece. The Israelites, again, got a bronze serpent to lash their eyes onto like an exit sign in a burning building. A paralyzed man gets his legs back as evidence that his sins were forgiven. A bleeding woman gets the hem of her Savior's garment in a crowded street. It's just what she needed. But by the time Jesus sets his sights on Thomas, it was just the latest in this long line of tangible mercies. Yes, Thomas doubted, but he's only human. It's what we humans are good at. Christ offers a real, no-holds-barred, intimate relationship with us, and we want to belittle it into a contract. If you heal me of a trauma that's suffocated me all these years, then maybe I'll begin to see that you really are a man of your word. We set the terms, we ask him to sign on the dotted line, but our God is not a God of contracts. He is a God of covenants. So, what does a covenantal God do? He busts through the door again 8 days later, and which one of the apostles do you think was the one who said, "Psst, see Thomas? Told you." And instead of which was in Christ's right was, "How dare you doubt?" It was peace. Peace be with you. Thomas received that same peace that the Holy Spirit gave to his fellow disciples 8 days earlier. And not that peace that the world pitches, not the peace in the absence of strife. It's the one that comes from him. The peace that transforms in the presence of strife. Peace not as a feeling that comes and goes, but one of status and unremovable identity. And he gave him peace, and he gave him that mercy of tangibility. Place your finger here. See my hands. Put out your hand. Place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. See, God is not fair. If he were fair, this room here would be empty and we would all be dead. But God is just, which is why the nails went into his hands in the first place. And he is merciful, which is why he offers up his scars to see. And Thomas gets to touch the scars. And Jesus loved Thomas in this way, so that the same lips that blurted out, "I will never believe," they now say, "My Lord and my God." Doubt can lead to a confession. So how does Jesus burst into our lives? Because we weren't there 2,000 years ago in that room. We didn't see him in the flesh. We didn't put our fingers into his wounds. We didn't hear his words. And what do we have? Because we have doubts, because pain is real, tangible, in our everyday. The trauma, rejection, the addiction, that loneliness, the insecurity, the long-lasting grief, self-pity, whatever it is, they all have one thing in common. It feels answerless. The weight on our chest crushes our hearts, or it just makes it numb for how long was it? It's not just an abstract and theological thought, because we are not abstract or just theological thoughts. We are real and material. We are real and tangible. Flesh, which is a wonderful thing. God made us that way. But Satan knows it too. The devil works in tangible ways to bring you into despair, false belief. Where is your weakest wall in life now? Because if Satan can't get to you in one way, he's going to slither around the back and find another way around, like an octopus squeezing through a hole the size of a dime to tear its prey apart. And then he attacks. He locks us inside our own fear, in that room, in our hearts, and he tells us we are alone, in the dark, where we should be. And that I will never believe becomes a reality, and it's a nightmare, because what tasty prey we are. And it's there, right there, where Christ loves to meet us. In the middle of that very real, very common mess, because you are not alone in this. And Christ says, yes, that lock on your door, I've heard about that, but I don't do locks. You need something to latch onto. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. And that same Holy Spirit that breathed over the pre-creation waters that Christ breathed out, warbling his vocal cords out through his real live lungs, that Holy Spirit is found in that baptismal water right there that we were baptized in. And Jesus promised it would happen. John 14, I will ask, he says, the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He transforms us and trains us throughout our lives from unless Christians to even if believers. Because Christ knows that we're still human and we can't will ourselves out of a broken or troubled or doubting heart. We need visible, tangible things to latch onto, and so he gives them to us in abundance. You will never believe. To Thomas, he said, touch me and see. To us, he says, take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood. Your ears, if you don't even remember, have heard the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And if you can't sleep at night, God made your hands just the right size for a Bible. And morning by morning, new tangible mercies we see. He busts right into that unless of our lives. And we, in return, need to make sure that we are not busy measuring our unbelief and look at him. Because he says, see, I told you, I am real, I am here, and I am for you. But last thing then, now what? It's the now what? We've got that resurrected Savior, and he's here for us. So look at him closely, like Thomas did. Jesus kept his scars for Thomas. He didn't need to. He could have come back with that perfect scarless body, but he kept them because he knew that if he wanted to be close to you, he needed to look like you. Because we spend a lot of time trying to hide our own scars, not the skin deep ones. Hey, how you doing? Fine. Good. Living the dream, plugging along. The I'm fine lines, they're bad makeup that just hides real pain. Because the scars make us feel unlovable, don't they? Embarrassed and ashamed, at least. Real small sometimes. So point to one. Point to one of your scars. The owie ones in here. This is where I lied again and again. This is where someone that I loved and trusted took something very special from me. The scar is my shame in not being able to provide for my family. This one hurts the most. It's not having a family. Christ points to his scars. This, he says, look at this one. This is where I went all in for you. No holds barred. He is now here for you in your hurt. Brothers and sisters, Thomas looked at his Savior and he saw his scars. Today, look at your own scars and see your Savior in them. The man of sorrows meets us in the dark. And they aren't just marks on us where Christ was absent. They are that map where he was, that man, the man of his word, through it all. You are alive after all, right? You've made it. You're alive. Well, not like you will be. Praise the Lord for the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Happy Easter. And here now, anyway, while we're waiting, he was hurt so that you may be healed daily, so that you may believe daily. Our response to this, then, is this and this only. It's Thomas's response. My Lord and my God. When we are tempted to treat his mercy like a contract, we hold our cards close to our chest. Go all in. Go all in by receiving his mercy. Because after all, he did go all in for you. And so now there is no more unless. There is only it is finished. Amen.
Amen.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the saints be with us all.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call upon the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray to God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. Lord God, you know who we, like Thomas, wrestle with faith amid doubts and fear. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that believing we may see by faith at the present time and fully in the life of the world to come, and seeing we may rejoice in your Son and the power of his resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, give courage to all pastors as they preach and teach the word, including our own under-shepherd, Pastor Gregory, that all who hear may believe, and believing they may live in righteousness and godliness until the day Christ returns as judge and Lord of all. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, bless our sister congregations in Maine, the Lutheran Church of the Resurrection in Waterville, and Hope Lutheran in Bangor, and send them a pastor to shepherd their flocks. Within the wider church, grant Robert, our district president, wise leadership and sound teaching. Lord, in your mercy. Give peace, Lord, to our homes, and enliven them by Christ's risen life. Let the forgiveness of sins reign between husbands and wives, parents and children. Assure those who live alone that they too are your children, upheld by your right hand. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of hosts, you have added believers to the Lord Jesus in all times and places, from those receptive and hostile alike. Shepherd the nations and bring all people to embrace the gospel of the resurrected Christ. Curb wicked rulers and break their power, that all would be brought to the feet of Jesus in worship. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, as your Son's wounds brought gladness and peace to the troubled disciples, give your presence and comfort to the troubled in our midst, especially Ralph Carey in his rehabilitation, to Julian Bergeron with his recovery and his surgery, Stan Thompson with his scan, as well as Annette Pinard, Rick Stineau, Mary Lou Thompson, Luann Trigo, John Walters, Hattie Williams and her family. Comfort also those who weep, that they might know the blessed joy of Easter morning. And receive our deep thanks for restoring Judy Ward to her home. Provide for her needs, rebuild her strength, and guide her in every way. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son suffered on our behalf to win salvation for us. Grant that we may have the privilege not only of believing in him, but also of suffering for his sake. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, Heavenly Father, give us all things good and beneficial to us and to our salvation, and keep us from all things harmful. Through Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
And with your spirit.